Are you willing to accept Christ's invitation to know Him more intimately, love Him more intensely, and follow Him more closely, and then go out into the world and live His good news? If you say yes, then you could be the 13th apostle. Join Dan Duddy and Tom Caffrey, the odd couple of Catholic radio, as they ride the radio waves two by two to share the goodness, beauty, and truth of Jesus Christ and His church. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the 13th apostle.
On Saturday, September 27th, friends, and that's a week from today, Catholics from across the nation will gather at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C., for the third annual Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage, a full day of prayer, Eucharistic adoration, and preaching centered on the Rosary. Last year, more than 3,000 pilgrims attended, and this year's event promises to be even more impactful. It'll be a bilingual service and invigorated even more by the first American Pope. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the 13th Apostle. This is Tom Caffrey with my co-host, Dan Duddy. How you, Danny?
Hey, Tommy, how you doing, buddy? I'm excited about this one. This is good. Good
stuff. I'm so excited that, I forgot to say part of what I always say, which is when we explore the good, the beautiful, and true of the Catholic faith and the Catholic Church.
Amen. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that event. I know we've talked about pilgrimages before, and obviously we've had my son Kevin on about his pilgrimages, and everything I've read, certainly talking to Kevin, but everything I've read, I've watched YouTube episodes on different pilgrimages. I've been on many pilgrimages, I know you have been, and they're life-changing. Mm-hmm. So I've no doubt that many, if not all, hopefully everybody who pilgrimages to this event in our nation's capital will be transformed as well. So to help us talk about this is Father Andrew Hofer from the Order of Preachers, a Dominican friar. Welcome, Father Andrew.
Thank you very much, Tom. It's an honor to be with you and Dan here.
Thank you, Father.
Wonderful. So you said you've been involved in all three of them. Well, you will be, counting this coming Saturday. Are you transformed by this?
Oh, it's wonderful to see how there's such a strong outpouring of devotion to Our Lady of the Rosary, and how Dominicans have this privilege of especially promoting the devotion of the Rosary. So Dominicans have the Rosary as a part of our habit. So I wear this long Rosary along my habit belt, and then we pray the Rosary every day. And according to our constitutions, it says that we are to preach the Rosary fervently. And I want to share with you a story. I was just up in New York City, and I was visiting a couple priests, Jesuit priests actually, at Fordham. And I was there at the train station waiting to go back to Grand Central Station. I was praying the Rosary. And this young man came up to me, and he said, "Your order invented the Rosary, right?" I said, "Well, Our Lady gave us the Rosary." And so that began a conversation. I put the Rosary down because I thought it was important to talk to him. And actually, we had a lot in common. So it was just wonderful to, we talked all the way down to Grand Central Station. So it was just great.
Wow. Well, that's wonderful. You know, I couldn't help but think, I've taken the train. I do a lot of business in New York and have for a long time in the city. I prayed. In fact, one time I was on a train, and this woman diagonally across from me, I saw her real subtly praying the Rosary. So I just slowly took out my Rosary and started praying, but I did it in a way where she could just see. I think I hung the crucifix over, and she saw it, and she had a big smile on her face. Now, I wondered whether we were both saying prayer that, you know, New Jersey Transit would actually make it on time, which it usually doesn't. But I don't even know whether it was late, but we had such a good experience together. So that's wonderful.
Yeah. So, Father, you're heading down, I think this is the third year, you said, correct? Heading down to the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception.
Yes.
Down in D.C. I had a new birth in my Catholicism when I met my wife, and Tom doesn't know this, but after having our first of eight children, we went on a pilgrimage to the same place, the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. We loaded up a bus, a big, you know, big coach with family and extended family. So that's when I got my first taste of the pilgrimage. I know that you're heading into Washington, D.C. and everything that that means in today's culture. And Our Lady bringing the Rosary to D.C. I think is a beautiful thing because of those things that have been going on down there or connected thereof. And in my readings about Dominic, he too was in a really tough spot, wasn't he, Father, in his day with regards to the times and heresy and plague and so forth, right? Let's talk about that sword, that great sword, the rosary, huh? And where you're going with that.
That's right. So Saint Dominic is the founder of the Order of Preachers, and the Pope recognized our order on December 22nd, 1216. Saint Dominic had a very, very strong devotion to Our Lady. So this is where then that Our Lady has especially given us certain privileges, and how the popes through the centuries have recognized that special connection with us. And then to think about how Dominic faced heresies and he wanted the truth of the gospel in the 13th century. When we have this document called The Lives of the Brethren, it actually begins with Our Lady and how Our Lady wanted this order for the sake of salvation, to be able to be instrumental in the salvation of souls.
That's beautiful. And my family, Tom, and I'll turn it back over to you. In fact, just last night, my brother-in-law, who I have not seen in forever, came in from Texas. He is a priest. He's going to be 70. In fact, that's why he came back into town with the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, and another wonderful order with a great devotion to Our Lady as well. So, yeah, beautiful.
There's a line in the information pamphlet that was sent out that really caught my attention, and I'll read it now. At a time when the faithful hunger for truth, beauty, and renewal, the friars in this pilgrimage help to meet that hunger and help to satisfy that hunger. And I kind of ad-libbed a little bit that for the faithful, it encourages, and it's, as it says, the renewal, it renews. And I know of numerous people who were either gave up their faith or lost their faith, who did this or that type of pilgrimage. In the wake of these horrible events over the past few weeks, with the stabbing in North Carolina, that poor Ukrainian girl, and then with the assassination of Charlie Kirk and too many others. That's too many, too many, but many others. And we know Dan and I frequently talk about this on our program, and we've done it in retreats many times. The emptiness that so many young people feel. The Centers for Disease Control gave a sobering report last year about the anxiety, the depression scores, the elevated, markedly elevated scores, suicide, the increase in suicide. For that, it's a significant increase in suicide for boys. It's no surprise. It doesn't take a lot of deep thought to say that as faith has, now I don't want to say receded from the culture has moved away from faith. The faith is always there, but the culture has moved away from it. At the same time that's happening, there's been an increase in this suffering, the diseases of despair. How, in thinking in that context, how do you think about, well, what you do, what the Dominicans do? Was how the Dominicans formed Saint Dominic in the face of cultures and societies moving away from faith, going to something else. We always have some belief, right? How do you, and how does this event, how does it counter that?
Let's think about how this particular event, three pilgrimages during the Jubilee year of Pilgrims of Hope, people today have problems where they do not have the theological virtue of hope. And I want us to be able to see that God is good for us in the midst of our struggles and difficulties. If everything's going really well for you, there's no need for hope. And then, frankly, if you go to hell, what does Dante say is above a gateway in hell? Abandon hope, all you who enter. So this is when we are not in hell. We are on earth. And preachers are needed to be able to help people see that God is good for us in the midst of our struggles. So that this Dominican Rosary pilgrimage is showing forth the way of salvation in Jesus Christ. The eternal Son of God was born of the Virgin Mary for our salvation. He suffered and died for us, and Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. You think about going through the mysteries of the Rosary, the joys, the lights, the sorrows, and the glory, and how when we go to Our Lady, He is able to help us be formed in the truth and to be able to see that whatever problems there are out in the world, that God is good for us. He wants us to cling to Him. That the rosary is, in a sense, like this chain of life, this chain of salvation that pulls us up to heaven.
Wow, I never heard it described that way. The chain of light being pulled up to heaven. Wow.
Yeah, it's powerful, Father. What's the growth? What are we seeing here? What are you expecting?
Well, so it's in the thousands. So I don't know how many God will send us this September 27th. I think last year the count was over 3,000, and how it's this particular event. And there are also other kinds of events and the whole preparations. And to give you one example, say from the order of preachers that is hidden, that has cloistered contemplative nuns, and the people are supporting this Dominican Rosary pilgrimage. They are not going to be at the Rosary pilgrimage. They are within their cloisters. They're enclosed in these monasteries, and they are praying for all of us. And then to see how within the order too, that we have the active teaching sisters and the Dominican laity, and how the Dominican Rosary pilgrimage is meant to be faithful in our order's heritage and to share this with the church. And many people are responding. So it's just so wonderful to see the response.
Beautiful. With the potentials, these vast numbers, I believe you're going to be astounded by the numbers because of the very reasons that we just talked about. I think Our Lady is pulling people out and forward and gathering them up. And, we know that ever since the scandals and so forth, she's been sweeping the corners and cleaning house and making things, paving the way for the church, to stand strong. That's who she is. With all of this coming into your hands, we'll say, and as a homilist, I don't want you to blow your preaching, but I would imagine that, you're kind of rubbing your hands together and praying hard because you probably feel a lot of accountability and responsibility to the numbers. But what is it? What is your desired outcome for the event? And with you, being a homilist, what is it that you really want to say to grab the ears of the people that'll be before you?
So, as a preacher, I just think about the order's mission, preaching the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the salvation of souls. I want people to go to Jesus, right? Our Lady is the one who primarily shows the way to Jesus, her son. He is the way to the Father. In the rosary, we have hope. We have hope. So, I want us to be able to lay hold of eternal life and see that God is good in the midst of our terrible sufferings we have in this life.
And the fundamentals of the rosary is exactly such, isn't it, Father? That we pray the rosary with the Blessed Mother, can we say that, to bring us to the mysteries of the rosary to Christ Himself?
Well, so that's where with her, absolutely. Even our Saint Bernadette saw that Our Lady of Lourdes held the rosary in her hand. We didn't pray aloud the prayers, the Hail Mary full of grace, but we are with Our Lady. In fact, this is where we're praying in the Hail Mary, which is repeated so often in the rosary. We are praying in the words that the angel Gabriel said to Mary at the Annunciation and the words that Saint Elizabeth said to Mary in the Visitation. Those, of course, are the two first mysteries of the Holy Rosary. And the second half of the Hail Mary was added by the church at Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. So, how is calling her for her assistance the two most important times of our life, now and at the hour of our death? And it's not just simply for me, pray for me, a sinner, now and at the hour of my death. Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Just like with our Father, we don't say, My Father who art in heaven, we say, Our Father. And we pray in the Dominican Rosary pilgrimage, as we pray the Rosary at other times, for all. It's not just simply about me. I am responding. We are responding because God is calling people to his salvation, to his happiness. And the Rosary is that chain of life, that chain of salvation that pulls us up to heaven.
Amen.
I'm
Amen.
so glad you described it that way, the communal aspect of those two great prayers, the collective pronouns. It's not about, it's not my father. Dan and I talk a lot about the cross, the vertical beam is that's to God and only to God, but there's that horizontal beam, which is me to Dan, Dan to me, Dan and I to you. I feel bad. I know some people, close to some people who they confess firm belief in Christ, but They never participate. Some are Catholic, some are not Catholic, whether they're Protestant or evangelical. And they're not really evangelical because it's a private faith for them. There is no community in that. And I never really thought about it until you said it, the communal aspect of those two prayers. I've said those prayers more when I'm just by myself than I have in a group of people. But I have to remember, trying to remember the app for your order that I had. In fact, I can't remember it, but it's partly the spiritual exercises, but others as well. And I know there's another app that does this as well. You can see through lights on the map, on the app, how many people have logged in and are presumably praying exactly what I'm praying. And that's a really neat thing. It's invigorating, and it's because you can't do this life alone.
No, that's right.
I mean, if you only had a life of joy, you'd want to share it,
No,
right?
that's right. And this is where sometimes people they say, all die alone, or we all die alone. No, pray for our prayers now and at the hour of our death. Amen. When we think truly about what we pray in the rosary, nobody dies alone. Nobody dies alone.
Wow.
Okay, and then how we came into this world through mothers, and Our Lady is our spiritual mother. Okay, and we ask her to help us pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. She is the one who is Our Lady of Sorrows at the foot of the cross. Is that the cross that Jesus Christ, her son, said to her, "Woman, behold your son," and then to the beloved disciple, "Behold your mother." It's at the death of Christ that we see the union of mother and beloved disciple, and the tradition understands that to be Jesus giving us his own mother, that in a sense we're all represented by the beloved disciple at the foot of the cross.
Wow.
And such powerful strength in Our Lady. I'm a theology teacher. I teach freshmen. And just today we went over today's reading of Simeon at the presentation, saying to Our Lady on the day of Our Lady of Sorrows, and you too, your soul will be pierced. I'm paraphrasing. And how she and, other women, I believe two other women, were at the foot of the cross, and the only male at the foot of the cross having been John. And when I spoke to the young ladies in my room about the strength of women, the genius of women and that power of the humble strength of Our Lady, they lit up. And I think that they don't hear that enough, Father, our young girls. They really don't. I think they see the church as a masculine church, but in the pews we see a whole lot more women than we see men. There's kind of a contradiction in that, What are the numbers of the youth that get there versus the older? What are you guys doing in order to fan the fires of getting the youth on pilgrimage?
So I'm sorry, I'm not one of the organizers of the event, so I can't detail all the different kinds of appeals, but I do know that, there'll be thousands of people of all different ages and walks of life. And then just, I was back in New York City. I was at our St. Joseph's Parish in Greenwich Village. On Sunday nights, they get over 100 young adults for a gathering, and we had Q&A, questions and answers, where 100 people came to the parish hall for that. And it's just amazing to see the responses of young adults who really want to have the faith and to profess the faith, to grow deeper in the faith. And so it's just really beautiful to see that kind of response.
Well, that's very inspiring. And I'm inspired in the classroom as well. We have some really hungry children that their eyes are wide open to hear more and more about the faith. And Tom, you're teaching RCIA now. You're teaching those very, those young adults, right?
Indeed. But the great
Yes,
thing
sir.
about that experience and the great thing about this pilgrimage is that they're seeking. They're already, by definition, by being there, they are seekers. I know that I can't pass this great opportunity up with our good preacher here. When you're with those young people, of course, it could be anybody at any age, but I am rereading a book. I read it when it first came out in 1981. A teenager or somebody in their 20s comes up to you and says, Father Andrew, why do bad things happen to good people? What do you tell them?
So I would say that there's no one quick response that God is good. He permitted the original sin, that Adam committed this original sin that was destructive to human nature. That's why it's fallen human nature. and that he permits various bad things to happen. He can draw good even out of evil. So the God who created light out of nothing, creation came from nothing. That one God can make good out of evil. Not that we should ever do evil so that good may result, but that God who looks upon our evil things, whether they be moral evils or the evils of suffering, that God can bring good out of it all. And this is why, again, we go back to the virtue of hope. Hope is for those who are suffering. No struggle, you don't hope. But God gives us the theological virtue of hope. So this is where we that can respond to God, who, and you think about not just transcendent, that God is with us. God the Father sent his own Son to be one with us. And that Son suffered and died for us. And how God brings that great good for our salvation out of the suffering and death of his beloved Son. And Jesus, before he died, said, "Pick up your cross and follow me." This is where then the truthfulness of our salvation, of being with Jesus, who suffered and died for us, and he has risen from the dead. This life on earth is a passing moment when you think about all the things of eternity, everlasting life. We want to be faithful to God by his grace so that Jesus may welcome us into his everlasting kingdom.
It's Emmanuel, right? He's
Yes,
God
God
with
is
us.
with us.
Father, thinking globally now, with regards to this immense event and the Catholic Church being as strong as she is, this has got to be one of the larger, if not, I would think, largest pilgrimages in the world with regards to having centered around Our Lady and the Rosary. Now, you couple that with the excitement in America, and maybe personally you could tell us how you feel about this with Pope Leo. Right there, I mean, right in the midst of all of this, how excited are you and all of your great priests, your brothers in Christ, about what's happening this year in light of Pope Leo?
Oh, we're thrilled. So one detail about Pope Leo, not only is he an American, so was born in the U.S. and was bishop in Peru, so South American too. He's an Augustinian friar. The Dominican friars are like the Augustinian friars in that both of us have the rule of Saint Augustine. So Augustinian friars are like our cousins within the Catholic Church. And so we're just so happy. Yeah, we love to hear about, we call Augustine Holy Father Augustine. All right. So for Pope Leo constantly to quote Saint Augustine is just music to our ears.
Wow.
So Saint Thomas Aquinas is in a continuous dialogue with Saint Augustine, so to speak. When he writes his Summa Theology, he's constantly citing Saint Augustine. Right? So this is where we love Saint Augustine, and we love how we have an Augustinian friar, Pope Leo, as Pope. And that Pope Leo preaches the gospel of peace. He wants to be that his very first message was peace of the risen Lord for us, and that he wants there's something about the Augustinian charism that emphasizes the oneness in Christ. Okay, so his motto is in that one we are one. In that Christ one we are one. In illo uno unum. In illo uno unum. In that one we are one. And so that's just beautiful. We love that.
I never knew that, Father. I'm so glad I asked that question. That's a great, my goodness, electrifying connection with Pope Leo. What do you hope your people, the attendees, will go home with, and what do you hope that they'll do? I'm sure you're giving them some sort of a vision or a plan when they head back.
Yes, there's something about zeal, that this excess of love, where we want to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, that again, God sent his Son, born of a woman, and that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And for people then to be able to spread the good news, to be able to rely upon prayer, and to be able to share the life of prayer with others, I think is so beautiful. This is what our Lady wants. Our Lady wants us to be drawn up to heaven through her Son, Jesus. He is the way to the Father. What are the last words of our Lady in the Gospel that are recorded? Do whatever he tells you. That's what we meditate on in the second luminous mystery, the miracle of the wedding feast of Cana. Our Lady's last words recorded in the Gospel, do whatever he tells you. So we want to do that, and we want others to hear our Lady's call.
Amen. Beautiful. Tom?
So, Father Andrew Hofer, when you have people come to you and say, My prayer life is dry. I feel like I'm just going through the motions with when I say the rosary. I'm not thinking about the words. I'm gone somewhere else, and I'm not sure. I don't feel like I'm doing anything worthwhile.
Well, so there are various responses. One thing is to take the time to think about the meaning of the prayers. And Father Philip Nolan and I co-authored a book that came out this year from Magnificat. It's called Our Father, Our Prayer of Hope. So every decade of the Rosary begins with the prayer that Jesus himself taught us, the Our Father. And so it's 140 pages or 144 pages. An art book costs about $20. It's hardbound with a ribbon. It's a beautiful book. I didn't do the artwork. It's meant to inspire people to pray the Our Father. Now, Father Philip Nolan and I are co-authoring a book on the Hail Mary. So, particularly thinking about love while we pray the words of the Hail Mary. And so, this is where then to consider just, what does it mean to pray these words? And to take a little bit of time to think about that. And then how our feelings do not always correspond with our thoughts. And then how sometimes you're with someone where you don't feel all that great. This is the right thing. And how prayer is something that we just think we need to pray. Saint Gregory of Nazianzus, the 4th century Greek father, and he has this line: "It is more necessary to remember God than to breathe. It is more necessary to remember God than to breathe." And you think, well, is that a hyperbole? After all, I'm breathing and I don't remember God right now. All right, but at some point you're going to stop breathing. It is more necessary to remember God than to breathe. And then to think, this is actually what we want in our life, constant remembrance of the presence of God. And how at the end of our life, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death, we want Our Lady's help to remember God.
Wow. Well,
Amen.
I'm going to take away the collective pronouns of those prayers, the our, us,
Yeah, communal. Yeah.
and the communal remember God, more than a breath. That's really something. All right, Father Andrew Hofer, Order of Preachers, Dominican Friar. Good luck, but more importantly, we're all going to pray for the great outcome, great experience. Whether you get 300, 3,000, 300,000, we know Dan and I have done retreats where sometimes we've been disappointed in the number of people who attended, and we have one of the greatest experiences of our lives in those small, intimate retreats. But we're confident it's going to do
So true.
it'll be worth having you back to talk about how well the retreat went. So we look
Thank you.
forward to that conversation.
That would
Okay.
be great. That would be wonderful, Father. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you,
Thank you, Dan.
for
Thank you,
all you do.
Thomas. Thank you to all your listeners, too. God bless you all.
God
Oh,
bless you,
thank you.
Father. Thank you. Folks out there, stay tuned for the Angelus and your prayer intentions with Peter and Jemmy.
WQPHradio.org. Thank you, friends, for your support. We always appreciate it. We're grateful for it. God bless you, Danny.
God bless you, Tommy. God bless you, Father Andrew Hofer. Thank you very much. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to The 13th Apostle with Dan Duddy and Tom Caffrey. For more information on Dan, visit his website at www.danduddy.com or email dcduddy@gmail.com. Tom's website is faithpilgrims.com or email trcaffrey@faithpilgrims.com. How about you? Will you be the 13th Apostle?